Time now for Michigan's number one outdoor radio show, Mike Avery's Outdoor Magazine. Mike Avery has covered the outdoors in Michigan for more than four decades, and that tradition continues today. Outdoor Magazine is brought to you by Jay's Sporting Goods, the Eider Insurance Group, Angler Quest Pontoons and Polar Craft Boats, the Forward Corporation, Primal Tree Stands, Security Credit Union, Garber Chevrolet, Brenton USA Hunting Rifles, and by Michigan Brand Meats. Now, here's Mike Avery.
Indeed, this is the big guy, Mike Avery. Thank you, Ken Hunter, for that introduction, and welcome to hour number two of this week's Outdoor Magazine radio show here on the Outdoor Magazine Radio Network, heard on more than 30 radio stations across the great state of Michigan. Yes, this is a radio show, first and foremost, and I bring that up kind of a distinction to maybe set this program apart from a lot of the other programs that's out there. Podcasting is huge these days. I love podcasting. Podcasting is wonderful. I do several myself. But this is, first and foremost, a radio show. And I think the best way to listen, if you can, is on your local AM or FM station. You get your local news, weather, sports, even your local commercials. Plus, the broadcast stations get the content, for the most part, before the podcast is made available. But there is a podcast as an option, as a backup. If you live in some part of our state not covered by the broadcast signal, or if your local affiliate doesn't carry all 3 hours of the show, isn't it nice to know that there's a podcast backup version available? Where do you hear it? You can hear it on my website, MikeAveryOutdoors.com, on the Facebook page, Amazon Music, Audible. I love Audible. I listen to a lot of books on Audible. Well, the podcast is there as well. It's on my Twitter feed, Avery Outdoors, although I'm not a big Twitter guy. I don't get Twitter. I don't understand Twitter, but it's out there. It's on my LinkedIn page, on iTunes, which is now called, what, Apple Music? Google Play, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, yada, 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 yada. Even on YouTube. I know it's a radio show, but I put the audio on YouTube, and people get their content there as well. While I'm talking about podcasts, blatant plug for my podcast network. Each month I do podcasts for Offshore Tackle, Primal Tree Stands, Polar Craft Boats, and Angler Quest Boats. And today, when we're done with this radio show here in the studio, we are recording this month's Angler Quest podcast, talking with Dan Jordan of Team Angler Quest, a very, very good fisherman. Hardcore fisherman, spends a lot of time on the water, and he has a lot of great information. So I would encourage you to look for that as well. This week is a fishing theme here on the Outdoor Magazine show. Started out talking about big Michigan catfish. Later on, we'll talk about a little bit of walleye. But right now, I want to concentrate on a fish factory in Lake St. Clair, a world-class fishery. We're talking about muskies. And talking with a guy who knows that muskie fishery inside and out. He's been on the water there a long, long time. He learned to fish muskies from the man himself, Homer LeBlanc. You know that name. He is the guy who kind of pioneered modern musky fishing tactics and techniques. And Don Miller of Miller's Sport Fishing has taken it to the next level, and he's with us now on the Outdoor Magazine phone line. Don, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
Good, Mike. Thanks for the introduction.
Well, listen, always a pleasure to talk with you. So the season now, the Lake St. Clair musky fishing season is officially underway now, right?
It is. It started last Saturday. And it went off like a firecracker. There was a lot of 30-pound fish caught.
Wow.
Pretty much. And the lake temperature to be at, if you could find it, was the ticket. It was about 72 degrees. It was really setting them off in transitional color line areas. A lot of guys did really well across the lake over by Stony Point and Ruscomb River, but in about 17 feet of water. So they were doing pretty good on some bucktails, double-bladed bucktails in there, and some body baits that were doing really well, believers, Blue water baits were good. There was a lot of things working up there, so, and some really nice fish taken.
Don, you've been fishing that water for a long time. How is the fishery these days? How does it compare to when you got started?
That's easy. It's better now than it ever has been. When I started, if you were to get a strike in a day's time, it was considered a success. And I transitioned out from an time era where catch and keep was the thing to catch and release, going into that era of putting things back in the lake and understanding them. Now, today, it's not uncommon if you're out there as a professional to see anywhere between 350 to 500 muskies a year.
Wow.
And several of those being 25 and 30-pound class fish, and you would probably throw in a couple of 40-pound fish in that mix, you know?
Don, that's crazy.
It's really taken off.
That's crazy. The guys over in Wisconsin, over in Minnesota, up in the UP, you know, might fish for days before they get a follow and be happy about it. And you guys are boating these numbers. That is indeed a world-class, if not the best, musky fishery in North America.
I would think arguably within the world. I mean, if you were to talk about world-class fisheries in today's times, 50 years ago, Lake St. Clair wasn't even brought up in a conversation at all. But today, I think if you were to talk about it, it has to come up in the conversation. There's no question. I mean, over my career, I would say it's probably safe to say I probably have boated 10,000 of them or more. I mean, in, you know, 500 over 50 inches and probably about a dozen 40-pound fish in that mix. So, and, you know, most of them have all gone back in the lakes. And I'm proud to say that, and it's a better place to fish in than it was 50 years ago.
Well, you know, I have nothing against catching fish and eating them, but they're on Lake St. Clair. If you want to eat fish, you know, eat walleye, right?
Walleyes or bluegills or perch or something like that.
Yeah.
Muskies, they don't start reproducing until they get to be 8 to 10 years old. And that's roughly a 38 to 42-inch fish. That's a legal fish that you are allowed to keep, a 42-inch fish. But I think and understand them, State DNR Fish Biology Department says that a safe fish for you to consume is a 1 to 5-year-old fish. So at the safe fish levels that are there, do you know that you can consume 2 fish dinners a week, they say. If you kept a muskie to eat it and you ate it, you're already at twice your limit in one dinner. So just put them back and let them reproduce. I mean, I know a lot of people, when you talk about seeing 3 fish to 8, 9, 10 fish in a day, it's unheard of in other parts of the country where muskies are sought after. But in Lake St. Clair, that's common. Yeah.
Well, and some of these other musky fisheries are, yeah, they might be trolling fisheries, but they're casting fisheries, you know, casting bodies of water where you might cast and then do a figure eight at the boat. And like I said, if you catch a fish, it's a great day. If you see a fish, it's a good day. But you guys down there on Lake St. Clair, you have developed this trolling fishery, and it's a high-speed, very well-defined technique, isn't it?
Right. You set the boat up with prop wash rods, two in the prop wash side of the boat with about 5 feet of line behind the boat. Then you would go off to the back corner rods, and depending on if the fish were taking the wash rods better or the upper high rods better, you would hang a heavier sinker on the 8 or 10 foot long poles on the corners of the boat and fish off the side of the transom outside a little bit there with the heavier sinker if they like the wash. But if you were liking them high, you would go and put a 2 or 3 ounce inline sinker and back about 20 feet along the side of the boat's prop wash right there. And then, of course, with planer boards now, you're able to put out baits, you know, up to 100 feet away from the boat because you know there's fish out there your boat isn't picking up from the transducer. And you want to be able to put stuff out there so and pick them up. Planer boards have increased the catch probably by 50% over again.
Wow.
And you start putting out stuff on that outside planer board, that's a small boat out there pulling a line. And once it pulls free, you know, the Bruce DeChano offshore heavy downrigger snap releases right there that they got to slide down your line to position your lines out there. They're just to take it to pull around a heavier bait out there, and the fish take it, and it's a great thing.
Well, I get the whole concept of planer boards, getting the baits away from the boat, covering more water. I get that. That makes sense. But what really shocks me is the fact that you guys are putting baits not away from the boat. You're putting them at the back of the boat. You're putting them in the prop wash 5 feet off the rod tip. That's crazy, Don.
Yeah, that's reality, though. I mean, you have to understand a musky fishing. I mean, we've all heard the stories about doing the figure eight right next to the boat if you're casting, and if you're trolling in the bait's right next to the boat. I mean, that's an easy prey for a muskie, and they're not afraid of boats. They don't know what they are. They're not a predator to them. I mean, they're fearless about what boats are. I mean, when you're the top predator in the water, you don't fear anything unless it's bigger than you, you know? And so they're not going to be afraid of that bait right there next to the boat. In fact, I would think that they would think that it got hit by that object there, and it's floundering around in the prop wash, and an opportunist that they are would want to come up and make prey of it.
Ah, that makes sense. We're talking with Don Miller of Miller's Sport Fishing. His website is millers-sportfishing.com. I used to know him as Miller's Motor City Muskies. I love that name because he's right there, right in Lake St. Clair, southeast corner of the state, where the people are, where the fish are, where a beautiful resource is, millers-sportfishing.com. We got to take a break here in the Outdoor Magazine Show. When we come back, I want to talk more with Don about musky fishing on Lake St. Clair and more here on Outdoor Magazine. Just when I thought they couldn't get any better, the folks at Michigan-based Apex Marine have taken their lineup of Angler Quest boats to the next level. Now, the big water fishing machines are wider, a full 8.5 feet. The tubes are bigger for more stability and safety, and the overall design is the best yet. There's a new rail system that's stronger and more functional. The Bimini is redesigned for more stability. The transom has been reconfigured with a cantilevered platform to make landing those big fish easier. Angler Quest's furniture package is more comfortable and stylish, and there's even more. The 2022 lineup of Angler Quest boats is the best yet, and they're the hottest fishing pontoons on the water. For more details and to find a dealer near you, go to anglerquestpontoons.com. That's anglerquestpontoons.com. And be sure to check them out on social media. Angler Quest Pontoons. Built with purpose. Do you want to save money on great hunting gear? Head to the Primal Tree Stands website and use my promo code Avery. You know I love that Primal Wraith 270 see-through ground blind, and their new Breeze Blind is a great option too. For tree stand hunters, check out the Snap Sticks, Rip Rails, or Grip Stick climbing sticks. And to make your time in the stand as safe as possible, take a look at the Descender. That slowly lowers you to the ground in case of a fall. All of these products and more are available on Primal Tree Stands. Stands.com. Just use the promo code Avery at checkout and get a great discount, including my favorite, the Wraith see-through blind, for less than $200. That's right, one of the most popular see-through ground blinds on the market at a price you can't beat anywhere. Again, go to PrimalTreeStands.com and use the promo code Avery to get big discounts on everything on the website, including that Wraith ground blind for less than $200. Everybody needs to put gas in their tank, so the next time, why not save money with fuel rewards from Forward Shell convenience stores? With fuel rewards, you'll save at least 5 cents a gallon on every fill-up at the 26 Forward Shell convenience stores. Plus, you can earn additional savings with select products and special offers at those Forward stores. You can save 20, 30, even 40 cents a gallon, and the more you use fuel rewards, the more you can save. I use the Fuel Rewards program every time I stop by a Forward Shell convenience store. And you can too. Go to FuelRewards.com. That's FuelRewards.com. You can also download the Fuel Rewards app on your phone. the Fuel Rewards program at your local Forward Shell convenience store. A great way to save money every time you fill up. To learn more, check out forwardconvenience.com. That's forwardconvenience.com.
At Garber Chevrolet in Midland, Saginaw, Linwood, Caro, and now Chesaning, we're better for a reason. Like Garber's low price guarantee. Get incredible everyday low prices on a new Chevy Equinox, Silverado, Traverse, or Trax. Think you found a better deal somewhere else? Bring it to us, and we will beat it. Getting more options and choices is always better. And Garber's combined inventory is the Great Lakes Bay Region's largest selection of new Chevrolets. Browse online at GarberChevrolet.com. Then use our buy from home feature to purchase entirely online. And Garber Chevrolet's customer service is in a class of its own. We always put your needs first. Better prices, better selection. There's a reason why you'll do better at Garber Chevrolet in Midland, Saginaw, Linwood, Caro, and now Chesaning. Home with a low price guarantee. Online at GarberChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
You'll do better at Garber.
You can hear the Outdoor Magazine show in port here on the WPHM 1380 AM. By the way, now or very soon, the show will air twice on the weekends, including Sunday afternoon as well. So thank you, Caleb. I appreciate that very much. You can also hear us in Caro on WKYO 1360 AM and 92.1 FM. This segment of Outdoor Magazine is brought to you by Rapid River Knives. I've got a Rapid River knife in my pocket, as I always do. In fact, I'm bringing it out right now. Reaching into my pocket to bring this out. Charlie can verify. This is an absolutely beautiful... You heard it open, right? Here. Yeah, see, I'm not kidding you. Beautiful, handmade, custom-made knife from the experts in the UP at Rapid River Knife Works. Stop by their showroom. It's on US 2 just outside of Rapid River, or go to the website rapidriverknifeworks.us, rapidriverknifeworks.us. Check out the knives they have. They have folding knives like mine. I used to call it a jackknife or a pocket knife, right? Skinning knives, gutting knives, caping knives, the same thing, I guess. Kitchen knives, axes, hatchets, you name it. All handmade by craftsmen in the UP, the website rapidriverknifeworks.us. Check them out. Also, check out this website, millers-sportfishing.com. That's the website of Don Miller's Miller's Motor City Muskies. Don has been out there on Lake St. Clair chasing these giant fish forever. Their season just opened. He's with us now on the Outdoor Magazine phone line. Don, you were talking about these fish being top-tier predator. They're the biggest thing out there, except for sturgeon, and they're not afraid of anything, you say.
No, they're not. Actually, they're... Well, when they come off the spawning areas, the northern pike and the muskies both spawn in the same waters, and the pike fry hatch about 2 weeks before the muskie fry. So the very first thing that pike fry see to eat are baby muskies. So... After that, after a little while into their life cycle, that chain turns corner pretty quick. And muskies get bigger, they get much more aggressive, and they start biting back on the northern pike. So, but that would be it right there at birth, just about. Aside from that, they'll eat each other. They know that. They're cannibals, and anything that they can get, once they get up to... starting to get to young adolescence into their adult life, if they think they can get their teeth in it, they're after it, you know? So, and you can't move the bait too fast. Homer used to say, so long as it's swimming in the water and it isn't skipping out across the top, if they can catch it, they can hit it, and they can strike at speeds of 20 to 40 miles an hour in the blink of an eye. They're on it, just that quick. So...
Well, and that's the biggest thing that surprised me. Two things, the size of your baits, but I guess when you're thinking about it, big fish, big baits. But the speed that you're trolling at, holy cow, what, 4 or 5 miles an hour?
I've even gone as high as close to 7 miles an hour in clean water. I've downsized my baits in clean water to like a little 6-inch wooden bait and speed up, so I projected more of an image to the fish so they couldn't see it too good to trigger a reactionary, vision reactionary sort of strike that went on out there. When you get into a little bit stained water, stained mudline, a lot of people misconceive the air, what they think is air holes around the side of the fish's head. It's actually their ability, it's called lateral perception. It's like whiskers on a cat, they feel vibrations in the water. And that's when they see a little and feel a lot, and you can fool a bigger fish, it seems like, in a little bit dirtier water, off-colored water, they seem to fall prey a little bit more. You want to slow down, let them have an 8 or a 10-inch bait and that stuff, maybe 4 and a half miles an hour, and let them have it. But when they can see it real good, you want to speed up and downsize. So hope that makes a little sense.
No, it does make sense. Where are you finding them, Don? Are they down at the bottom around structure? Are they suspended? Where do you target them?
Typically, the key spots to troll on for muskies would be in the top 50% of just about any water column that you're fishing. For example, if you were in 16 feet of water, you wouldn't want to be fishing any deeper than 8 feet down, because I would venture to say that if you had a fish that was suspended 4 feet off the bottom, to look up and see your lowest bait that you had at 8 feet, it would only have to move, what people say, how far you got to move to get that bait, and I'd say 4 feet, but I'd say that's just about one body length to a musk.
Hmm.
And at a speed of 20 to 40 miles an hour, that's just a blink of an eye. If they can see it, they can hear it.
So what's the magic number? What goes from being a nice fish to a trophy fish in your eyes?
I think when you start getting fish above the 45-inch level, you're starting to get into a fish that the typical walleye rig couldn't handle or would have a difficult time handling. A lot of people catch them, a smaller fish on walleye, a stuffed it. 10 and 12 pound test out there fishing for walleyes or bass. But I think when you start getting up on 45 inches, it could beat you on that type of tackle. So I know I'm not using that light line. I usually like the 30 to 40 pound big game line with fluorocarbon leaders and stuff like that of 80 and 100 pound. But I think a really trophy fish, you start getting them up into 50 plus inches, up to 54, 55, 56 inches. You're talking something that for the average individual, they might not see a fish that big again. I hope they would, but it would sort of be one on the benchmark they would eat.
When you describe your tackle, this is not a finesse fishery at all, is it? This is a let's get that bait in the water, let's troll it fast, let's hook that fish up, let's get it done.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. You could use a lighter tackle if you wanted to, but I think if you did, you would play the fish too long and your catch and release method would not be as good to get a live fish back in the water because it was overplayed. I think with a little bit heavier tackle, you can still have fun with the fish, get it into the boat and have your picture taken with it, and get it back in the water and revive so it can come back and fight again another day.
How are you?
That's what made the fishery so good.
Well, this may be a stupid question, but how are you handling this fish this big? How are you getting them in the boat? Are you netting them with a big net, or you use a cradle, or what?
Well, the smaller boats can use a cradle, the ones closer to the water. When you get into the bigger boats, the fiberglass boats and stuff, if they're out there 30-footers, you almost have to use a net. We're going to reach down and pick them up with it. But a rubber net is good, and we wet a towel, put it on the floor, and sometimes you have to cut the net to get the hooks are wound up in the net, and cut the hook and get the fish out of there as quickly as you can and into the back of the boat's live well to get it feeling better. And once the fish comes out, we pick it up, put it on the customer for a few couple pictures, and get it back in the water as quickly as possible. Mm. So.
What's the fight What's the fight like, Don? Is it compared to a big king? Do they fight like a king?
I think I'm not going to throw rocks at King Salmon, but I think this is probably like a king salmon on steroids because they can start with literally 5 feet of line behind the boat on a down rod, and in a matter of just 2 or 3 minutes, have a couple hundred yards of line on you out there and bulldogging you around, taking you places that you didn't know existed in the lake. And they're going to let you know they're not happy about it. And they're going to fight you tooth, nail, and claw every inch of the way back in there. I've seen some of these fish fights go with these big 30- and 40-pound class fish go from 20 minutes up to about an hour and 20 minutes. You know, wow. I mean, I won't say the big fish don't get boated on 10-pound trilene and a monofilament, because I absolutely did it once. And I had a grandfather and a son out bass fishing and walleye fishing, and we hooked up with a muskie on an 8-8 bomber, and we're fortunate enough to boat it. And that fish was right around 40 pounds and 54 inches. And so I seen it happen.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to, I know there's no such thing as a normal average day on the water, but what could a customer expect? Are you going to see multiple fish day, or is this a thing where, okay, you catch your one fish a day, and that's a great day, and let's all be happy with it?
I would say it would hurt my feelings if I saw anything less than 5 to 8 fish.
Wow.
Okay? And I won't say if I could see a little bit less on some days, and I don't want to advertise with seeing 40 fish either. I've seen that, okay? So I would be deceptive to say that you never thrown a no-hitter, because that can happen, but it's expected when you go on Lake St. Clair and it's a good day to go. I would be expecting 5 to 8 fish.
That is just crazy. Well, and you're going to increase your odds, Don. I mean, if we go with a guy like you who has decades of experience out there, who has seen just about everything those fish can throw at you, you're going to help out your odds a little bit.
There's no question on that. I mean, you're going to see things, and if people have ideas about going and getting the tackle and want to go and do it on themselves and find out my stuff isn't working, I should have taken a charter. I just tell people, before you go and play golf, you take lessons from a pro. If you're going to go musty fishing, come and take lessons from a pro and see what they got before you go and spend your money and put it to work on your own boat. You know, it would be money spent the right direction.
Don, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Again, I would encourage people, if they want to experience this world-class musky fishery on Lake St. Clair, to get in touch with you, Don Miller. The website, millers-sportfishing.com, millers-sportfishing.com. And I will look forward to you sending me pictures throughout the summer of these monster fish that you're catching there, Don.
Thank you, sir.
Don Miller of Miller's Sport Fishing, website millers-sportfishing.com. I still call it Miller's Motor City Muskies because I think it's such a cool name. But the website, millers-sportfishing.com. Don Miller learned from the master himself, Homer LeBlanc, plus he's put years of experience under his belt. He's the man, in my opinion. If you want to go fishing Lake St. Clair, get in touch with Don Miller, millers-sportfishing.com. We'll take a break here in the Outdoor Magazine show. When we come back, Ed Shaw of the DNR talking about how to learn some more outdoor skills, and we'll follow it up with this week's Ask Avery segment. And in hour number three, we're talking fishing electronics with the man himself, Lance Valentine of Teaching Fishing, and then we'll wrap it all up with Wild Game Chef Extraordinaire Dave Miner here on Outdoor Magazine. Welcome back to Outdoor Magazine. My name is Mike Avery, also known as The Big Guy. You can hear the show on more than 30 stations across the great state of Michigan, including Sports Extra 1330 WTRX in Flint. In Houghton Lake, you can hear us on the Twister 92.1 WTWS. In Holland, you can hear us on WHTC AM and FM. That's 1450 AM and 99.7 FM. This segment of Outdoor Magazine is brought to you by Michigan-based Boning Archery. Boning, a leader in the archery industry for more than 76 years. I mean, think about this. Three quarters of a century, Michigan-based Boning has been involved in the archery industry. They started out with ferrotite to glue broadheads to wooden arrow shafts. These days, they come up with new technology, new products, new manufacturing processes to lead the industry, and they're right here in Michigan. Check them out online. Their website is Boning. That's B-O-H-N-I-N-G, Boning.com. We have so many great Michigan-based companies that are outdoor-related in the hunting, the fishing, the shooting world. Really, we're very, very blessed here in our great state. I want to turn our attention now to Ed Shaw of the DNR. Ed, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
So listen, what's the topic this time around, Ed?
Oh, we got lots of stuff going on around the state with the Outdoor Skills Academy and outdoor education programs at our state park. And it's turning out to be a great year, let me tell you.
Well, listen, after last year, everything's a great year.
Right? Well, it's going up at least, right?
No. Listen, hey, I love this renewed interest in the outdoors. I think it's wonderful. And the fact that you guys are helping people learn new skills, that's very cool. Tell me more about it, Ed.
Well, we've always had these classes. And like you said, due to the past couple of years, we are filling every seat, and it's a great problem to have, right? We need more programs and more people doing this. And upcoming in July, we have a wild mushroom clinic on how to forage for wild mushrooms. We got fly fishing clinics. We have all kinds of stuff going on. And they do the drawing for the bear stuff, I believe, what, June 6th, something like that?
July 6th. Not that we're counting on anything.
Yeah,
July 6th.
And then we've got the bear hunting clinics coming up. So if someone draws a tag and they're interested, we have classes for that.
How do these work? Are they one-day classes, a couple hours, a weekend, what?
It can range. Like our wild edibles and foraging class, the students come in Friday night, and they stay Saturday and Sunday, along with our advanced ice fishing schools. We kind of do like an intermediate to Mark Martin's advanced ice fishing schools. An ice team university. So they can range from anything from a one day where they're doing part of the day in the classroom and part of the day outdoors to a 2 day, like our steelhead fishing clinic, where they're classroom one day and we're on the Manistee River fishing the next day.
So it sounds like these, obviously, they're at different locations across the state.
Correct. We offer right around 50 to 60 different classes a year at our visitor centers. So Hartwick Pines, Bay City Visitor Center, Hoffmaster, Ludington, and so forth. So we have several different visitor centers around the state, and they offer a variety of classes, everything from backpacking, foraging, to bear hunting and upland game bird hunting, where we take folks out and we bring dogs out and we actually take them hunting.
60 different classes. Do we have to sign up ahead of time, or can some of these, can we just pop in at the last minute? How do they work?
Yeah, they can, they got to go online to michigan.gov/outdoor skills and register prior to the class. There are a fee, but the good part about that is we're not allowed to make any money off these classes. We break even. They're typically for bringing in speakers, buying you lunch and materials, and whatever's left over, we buy prizes, raffle them off, or, buy all the materials we can for the class. So it keeps the cost down for the participants. And most of these range between $25 and $50.
Michigan.gov/outdoor skills. What do you find are the more popular classes, Ed?
Oh, definitely our wild mushroom and edibles. People are getting out foraging more. And so I can't offer enough of those. So we're running one a month through the summer, along with steelhead fishing, fly fishing, and I would have to say our bear hunting clinics. Yep.
The mushrooms, I mean, like, how would you do one in August, right? Are there still mushrooms out at that time? I'm thinking that's a springtime deal.
Yeah, everybody thinks morels, right? And
yeah,
this is something I learned because I don't teach all these classes. We find a local or statewide expert, and I've got a couple out of Traverse City. They're phenomenal. They go around the state teaching these classes for me. And really, I learned from them, guys, you can forage for mushrooms all season long. And the best time to do it is when our hunters are in the woods. And I'm thinking to myself, here's this awesome mushroom, probably worth a few hundred bucks, that they could be, you know, grilling up with their venison. And we walk right by them as hunters. And I've done it my entire life, hunting and trapping. Hmm. And I walk by these mushrooms that I didn't even know you could pick them.
All the more reason to sign up for some of these outdoor skills classes. Michigan.gov/outdoor skills. You can sign up now. There's a lot of them, 50 of them throughout the year. Ed Shaw, appreciate you reminding us about this. And appreciate your time today.
Oh, not a problem. Anytime. I love being on the show and a big fan, and thank you for having us.
I appreciate that, Ed. Ed Shaw of the Michigan DNR, the website Michigan.gov. Well, the website for the DNR is Michigan.gov/DNR. If you want to learn more about the outdoor skills, it's Michigan.gov/outdoor skills. That's a pretty easy one, right? We'll take a break here in the Outdoor Magazine Show. When we come back, we'll wrap up this second hour of this week's show with our Ask Avery segment brought to you by our friends from Security Credit Union. And then in hour number three, we continue on this fishing theme with Lance Valentine of Teach and Fishing, and Wild Game Chef Dave Miner has a fish recipe here on Outdoor Magazine. Security Credit Union wants to thank you for helping to make them one of Michigan's fastest growing credit unions. Check out Security's Debit Rewards Program, where you can earn points just by using your debit or Titanium Rewards credit card. Redeem those points for great gifts and merchandise. Or how about the Save to Win account? That's a Security Credit Union account that gives you all the benefits of a traditional savings account, plus the chance to win big. Every $25 you deposit into this share certificate earns you an entry into the monthly and quarterly drawings. The more you save, the more chances to earn, up to 10 entries per month. You'll build up your savings, earn interest and dividends, and have a chance at multiple prizes. And remember, Security Credit Union loves to work with outdoors men and women, and they can help you with your next outdoor adventure. Check them out online at securitycu.org. That's securitycu.org. Federally insured by the NCUA. Times have changed, and so should your hunting rifle. It's time to take a look at a Brenton USA hunting rifle. Brenton is a Michigan-based manufacturer of high-quality, extremely accurate AR-style rifles. When you think about it, an AR is a great hunting gun. It's a versatile platform, extremely tough, and it's a proven, reliable design. But Brenton USA hunting rifles are something more. They're built with precise tolerances to be extremely accurate, even at long range. In fact, Brenton hunting rifles are guaranteed to be sub-MOA. And there's another guarantee, a forever warranty, so you know your investment will stand up for years to come. In calibers from 204 Ruger up to the popular 450 Bushmaster, Brenton USA hunting rifles are perfect for predators, bear, deer, and even bigger game. Check them out online at BrentonUSA.com. Brenton hunting rifles, accurate, reliable, powerful. BrentonUSA.com.
This place is surrounded by gigantic seas of fresh water and thousands of miles of shoreline. Many fine rivers run through it. There are places where the forest canopy is so thick you can find snow in July. There are deer, bear, eagles, wolves, and maybe cougars. Michigan is an encyclopedia of adventure, just waiting to be explored. And right in the middle of it, twice in fact, is Jay's Sporting Goods. Jay's was founded by, and today is staffed by, adventure seekers, hunters, hikers, fishermen, and campers. That's why you don't find a lot of fluff and gadgets at Jay's Sporting Goods. You find exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Plus sales and special events that are perfectly in tune with the seasons. Visit jaysportinggoods.com, or better, visit Jay's Sporting Goods in Clare, exit 161 Mile North, or on South Otsego Avenue in Gaylord. Because adventure awaits.
The gear, the knowledge, the tradition of Jay's.
Let me tell you about the Lumberjack Restaurant in West Branch. Getting the entire troop to agree on a place to get some grub can be a real pain in the axe. Now, don't go flying off the handle just yet, because the Lumberjack Restaurant has something for everyone to enjoy. Steaks, ribs, taters, mac and cheese, homestyle grub that'll knock one or two notches off your belt just by looking at it. So get your axe up to the Lumberjack Restaurant of West Branch. Exit 212, I-75, where hunger goes to die.
When you buy a Michigan hunting or fishing license, you're helping to fund conservation efforts across the state. The majority of funding for taking care of Michigan's fish and wildlife comes from you, hunters and anglers, not state taxes. So on behalf of the Michigan Wildlife Council, we'd like to thank you for your part in ensuring that Michigan's hunting and fishing heritage will be here for generations. Learn how the Michigan Wildlife Council promotes the role of hunting and fishing at hereformioutdoors.org.
You can hear the Outdoor Magazine show in Houghton Lake on 98.5 WUPS. Blowtorch of a station. Powerful station. You can hear us in Lansing on WILS 1320 AM. And you can hear us north of the bridge in the Sioux on ESPN 1400. I'm sorry, Sports Talk 1400. My mistake. Sports Talk 1400 WKNW. The Ask Avery segment is brought to you each week by Security Credit Union. Security Credit Union loves to work with outdoorsmen and women, and they can help you with your next outdoor adventure. Check them out online at securitycu.org. That's securitycu.org. The way the Ask Avery segment works, you know this by now, but I will reiterate for our new listeners. This is your chance to get involved in the content of the show, to ask me a question, something that's been driving you crazy or bugging you, or maybe you're just mildly curious. The best way to get those questions to me is to send me an email to mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com. That's mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com. I oftentimes have people send me questions through the different social media messaging platforms, and that's fine, but I will tell you I may not always see them. I admit to being, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but there are so many different social media platforms and outlets and messaging platforms that I don't always see them, but I do always check my email multiple times each day. And my direct email to me is mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com. That's mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com. These can be questions that you want me to answer, or you want, you know, me to pass along to the DNR, MUCC, or whatever. This week is kind of a I cannot attribute this to any specific person, any one person, but this is a question that I often get. It's like, Avery, how do you, number one, how do you fill 3 hours each week? And how do you know who to get on the show? How do you know who to talk to? And that comes down to just doing this for a long time. It's just experience. The filling 3 hours every week, honestly, is not hard. I mean, there are certain guests that I get on here every once in a while that I swear I could fill the entire 3 hours with one guest. In fact, coming up here in the next hour, Lance Valentine is one of those guys. We click, we're friends in real life, and a guy like that has so much information, and they're so good at sharing that information that it makes for an easy conversation. And that's one of the keys is you have to find people who are not only knowledgeable, indeed experts in their field, but people who can share that information. As I said in the first hour of the show, I do not pretend to be an expert. I have an interest in hunting and fishing and shooting. I have a passion for it. I have some experience. I am a passionate participant, but I am not an expert. You need to find somebody who is an expert, who is also willing and able to share that advice. For example, there are very few topics here in the state, I think, that you could say, all right, Avery, we need to find somebody to talk about X, Y, and Z in a certain part of the state, in a certain part of the state. I can probably find that person. You know, in the old days, we had Rolodexes. You're not even going to know what a Rolodex is, right? It was little information cards. They were phone numbers, addresses, and topics on this little spindle. And I arrange them alphabetically, and you could just turn them to find a person. These days, I go to my contacts, either on my phone or my laptop, and I search the same thing, and it's absolutely crazy. But over the years, back when I had the television show, and this is going back 40 years now, and the TV show wasn't 40 years ago, but my contacts list goes back 40 years. And I can find people to talk about certain topics, like Don Miller down on Lake St. Clair. And most of these people I've had the opportunity to spend some time with in person at one time or another. I've fished muskies on Lake St. Clair with Don Miller multiple times to have a chance to see how he does this. And that gives me some idea of the type of questions that I want to talk about because I have some experience. I have experienced that situation. Lloyd Tanner, for example, the guy we had in the first hour, who caught the state record flathead. I've never met Lloyd before. First time I'd ever talked to him was here on the air. But I will tell you, in talking with him since then through some texts, I will have him back on the show. A great resource. A guy like that who is a catfish guru, who is proud of the resource, wants to protect the fishery and share that information makes for a perfect guest. Don Miller, who is very highly fine-tuned into the Lake St. Clair muskie fishery. It makes a great guest. Lance Valentine, who is so knowledgeable about so many aspects of fishing, and he has this unique ability to say things in a way that make it so crystal clear. When Lance will make a statement, sometimes I'll say, you know, I know that, but I didn't consciously know it. Or sometimes I didn't even realize that. Thank you for bringing it up. People like that make for some great guests, and they make my job easier. And I'm just blessed to be able to do this for so many years and know so many of these people and be able to reach out to them and have their phone numbers and contact them. It makes for a very smooth show most weeks. And I want to thank the folks at Security Credit Union for making this part of the show possible, the Ask Avery segment. Check them out online at securitycu.org. That's securitycu.org. And if you want to reach out to me with a question for the Ask Avery segment or any comment, suggestion, criticism, thought, please do so. My email address is mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com. That's mike@mikeaveryoutdoors.com.